The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
We are now 40 days into the war in Iran, and fractures are already emerging in the two-week ceasefire that Trump announced just last night. Here's the thing. No one seems to know exactly what the ceasefire is or whether it's actually in effect.
The fragile ceasefire deal in the Middle East is hanging by a thread, hours after it came into effect. Iran claims Israel has broken the agreement by launching a series of deadly attacks in Lebanon. And once again, they've closed the Strait of Hormuz. Donald Trump has warned if there is no deal, the shooting starts stronger than before.
Iran is saying one thing and the US is saying another, exposing just how fragile this ceasefire agreement is.
Trump's big two-week ceasefire deal with Iran is kind of falling apart. And why is it not surprising? It's not surprising to me at all. Because despite all the claims that the U.S. and Iran had come to some sort of a historic ceasefire, as they shouted it from the rooftops last night, it seemed like they never actually agreed on the basic parameters for negotiating the biggest issues.
Donald Trump always promises the best deals, but a day after he backed down from his threat to kill, quote, a whole civilization, end quote, his words, everyone's waking up to the fact that his ceasefire with Iran was smoke and mirrors, that the president of the United States crossed a dark line that cannot be uncrossed, all for a shaky promise of a temporary peace that began falling apart less than 24 hours later, and a humiliating list of concessions that Iran says Trump promised them.
Iran has basically gotten everything it wants in the agreement because Trump was desperate to open the Strait of Hormuz. This is a huge black eye to the United States. I'm glad that Trump didn't engage in increased war crimes or, quote, destroy entire civilization. But this thing, 39 days in, is a total and complete disaster, and we have been right about it.
President Trump's decision to launch the war with Iran divided some of his most loyal and vocal supporters. But today, voices from both sides of this argument among the right appear to be coming to an agreement over the ceasefire in that the assessment seems to be it does not benefit the United States.
I don't think that it was good at all to try to negotiate with these people because now they think that they have legitimacy.
This is a complete and total U.S. defeat. This is an absolute, there is no ambiguity here. It's not debatable. It's not subject to interpretation. We lost.
We're kind of in the middle of a mess right now. Ceasefire, and this ceasefire is questionable to say the least. They're horrified. Our allies, this is not where the war can stop. You have, and actually there's no regime change. I mean, the regime is actually part of the old regime, except it's more hardened. You've got the Revolutionary Guard, the most hardened elements running it, number one. Number two, you have no ridding of the 970 pounds of nuclear material. And the Strait, I mean, let's just face it, we're in a worse situation with the Strait now than we were before.
It's starting to look like Trump was desperate for a way out of a war that he launched almost 6 weeks ago without good reason. A way to wrap it up, to reopen the Strait of Hormuz and declare mission accomplished.
Of course, a lot of those talking heads are reporting with gleeful excitement over what they see as Trump's failure, President Trump's failure with Iran. But as you saw there in the cold open, I mean, it's on both sides, conservatives. And the funny thing is, a lot of the conservatives that were totally against this war from the beginning, now they're coming out and saying, you know, we should have finished it. We should have, gone in there and taken control once we're in. But you look at the deal. I mean, I wasn't on the show yesterday. I guess it was announced, as one of them noted, on Tuesday, and then already it's unraveling, just within hours, as President Trump tweeted out, within hours of the big day for world peace. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We appreciate you joining us on today's show. You can get to the live video stream of this program at our website, thetrumpet.com, or at the Rumble channel or the YouTube channel as well. A big day for world peace. He said, this is from Tuesday night, Iran wants it to happen. They've had enough. Likewise, so has everyone else. The United States of America will be helping with the traffic buildup in the Strait of Hormuz. There will be lots of positive action. Big money will be made. Iran can start the reconstruction process. Just like we're experiencing in the U.S., this could be the golden age of the Middle East. The golden age of the Middle East. My father gave a message yesterday, by the way, where he was going through Zechariah 3, 4, and 5, where it talks about golden oil, a type of God's Holy Spirit, and the golden pipes through which that oil flows. He even talked about the golden holy days. It's never has the gulf been wider between what man perceives to be golden and what God says is pure and righteous and golden. I mean, when you come right down to the the final analysis, if it's not of God, well, it's just like a trash heap, a junk pile. Only God creates golden holy days, golden, a golden plan or purpose. God is the peacemaker, and only God can make peace. And what we're seeing, there's so many different angles to take away from this, as we'll cover on the show today. But certainly one of them, one of the big lessons here, is that there is no hope in man. There's no hope. How could America not be prepared in this? If this war is just going the way the Trump administration says that it is, total obliteration. Oh, they've had enough. They don't want any more of this. The Strait of Hormuz is open. How could America be totally unprepared for Iran basically taking control of Hormuz, or unprepared for whether or not Lebanon is part of this cease agreement, ceasefire agreement? Iran says one thing, America says another thing. The whole thing is just confusing. As you saw there in the cold open, nobody knows what to make of it. There's a 10-point plan. There's a 15-point plan. The president says it's a hoax. It's fake news. What exactly has Iran agreed to? This is from Fox News, clip 9.
State media reports that Iran has halted the passage of oil tankers through the Strait of Hormuz after Israeli attacks on Hezbollah in Lebanon. Earlier today, we know two vessels were able to go through this passageway. But again, state media is reporting that the Iranians are choking off the strait. I just got off the phone with a senior Israeli official who was sounding the alarm about this action by the Iranians, saying only just a few hours into this ceasefire, the Iranians are already showing that they are trying to leverage their control over the strait and put pressure on global energy trade. And it also comes after reports overnight indicate that an Iranian attack hit Saudi Arabia's east-to-west oil pipeline, and there was significant damage that was currently being assessed. This is important because this pipeline is the only outlet for Saudi crude exports. And as the Iranians are putting pressure on the strait, they once again are trying to leverage this ability to put pressure on global energy exports.
Iran thinks it's winning. How do you go into a war with Iran, declare victory, and coming out of that war, they actually have more control over Hormuz than they did beforehand, before the war? They think they're winning. And you can argue and debate the details of this, but the whole, forget about the left-wing media celebrating President Trump's so-called failure. But the whole world is watching. The world is watching. And they're seeing a superpower in the midst of a dramatic decline, a collapse. Here's another one from Fox, clip 10.
Here's what it looked like in the skies of Tel Aviv just 2 hours after the ceasefire went into effect.
What you just saw there was an Iranian ballistic missile with a cluster warhead, those bomblets raining down on Israel's second largest city of Tel Aviv. This came after the ceasefire was announced by President Trump and an indication that it will take time to get this agreement in place.
2 hours after the ceasefire, and Iran was firing away at Tel Aviv. This is not the beginning of a golden age for the Middle East. The money is not flowing, at least not in the way that President Trump said that it would be. Nothing has changed. They're still choking Hormuz, Iran is. They still have that kind of control, that kind of influence. And charging money, charging millions. I think it's 2 million just for some of these ships to pass through. That is some kind of defeat. If you want to call it a defeat for Iran. Here's another one from Fox News. This is clip 11.
What you are looking at here is the Iranian capital of Tehran. Early this morning, pro-regime demonstrators took to the streets. They chanted death to America and death to Israel. They were chanting victory and burning American flags. It gives you a sense of the regime support that still exists in the Iranian capital.
Yeah, that's right. Support for the regime that's now even more hardline than before. I mean, it's not often that we agree with Scarborough, but it's the son of the supreme leader. And he takes a harder line than his father did. And the people are taking to the streets, not to bring down the regime, to show their support for the regime, to show their hatred and contempt for Israel and for the United States. Now, as we've said from the beginning, Daniel 11 and verse 40 says that America would not finish the job. We would not finish this. And that's left for the nation of Germany. Germany's going to finish the job, the latest issue of the trumpet. World War III will start with Iran. So it is significant what's happening in the Middle East, in Iran even. Here we go in, and as I've said over and again, you would think this one war would unite the world against Iran together with the United States. As it is, it's just like this Trumpet magazine says, the world is uniting against America. And you see it with the death of NATO. How do we go into a war with Iran that's been waging a war against America and Israel for 47 years and come out of it with this alliance with America and the nations of Europe completely severed? And Donald Trump, there's a Wall Street Journal article that goes into this. He's looking for ways to punish Europe for not supporting America. I mean, this, as I said earlier this week, if there's one thing this president is particularly good at, it's accelerating the fulfillment of Bible prophecies. In that latest trumpet, it says, it concerns me that President Trump has been so intent on trying to get the Iranians to negotiate an end to their nuclear program. It's very Obama-like. That's my father writing in the latest issue of the Trumpet magazine. If we hold all the cards, why are we so desperate to negotiate? It says, do the president and his officials realize what kind of force they are up against? Iran is not a normal power. I think I read this quote, this part of it anyway, earlier this week. The Iranian ideology is evil through and through. No other nation matches its fanatical thinking and extreme religious beliefs. It says, no words will stop this king of terror. And so, you know, 2 hours after the ceasefire agreement, depending upon which version you think is legit, what do you see happening? What are the actions? You see bombs. You see missiles flying over Tel Aviv. It says their actions have proved for decades that they use negotiation only as a ploy. Iran believes the harder it fights, the sooner its Messiah will return. Further on in the piece, it says Iran has been provoking and attacking America for 47 years. If we won't defend ourselves, how can we survive in this dangerous world? I mean, if America won't, and again, President Trump deserves some credit for doing something that Jimmy Carter wouldn't do, President Reagan, the first President Bush, Bill Clinton, George W. Bush, Barack Obama, the fake president, none of them. They all talk tough about Iran. And so did President Trump. And he did it back when he was working business, real estate, in the 1980s. So he gets into office the second time around. He takes action, and no doubt assuming that the world would support it. In fact, America is suffering yet another loss, yet another disaster. And the whole world is watching and observing. And the world is uniting against America. I mean, if you understand anything about Bible prophecy, it's something to behold. It says negotiations. This is in the latest Trumpet. If you don't have the Trumpet magazine or you're not subscribed to it yet, make sure that you do. There's no cost, no obligation. I mean, you can get to this issue right now at our website. You can see it there, thetrumpet.com. But also call our operators today and make sure you receive this magazine in your mailbox every month, so that you can understand your world, so that you can see what's happening, so that you can know how that this is going to unfold. Negotiations with an evil regime led to World War II, and negotiating with evil regimes like the one in Iran will lead to World War III. This is not my human prediction. It's God's biblical warning. Anything short of total victory against Iran and its radical ideology will prove a curse on America. I mean, that's tomorrow's news today. I'm not sure when that went to press, probably 4 or 5 weeks ago. There you go. Anything short of total victory against Iran and its radical ideology will prove a curse on America, the Middle East, and the whole world. It will once again be strength spent in vain, as God warned, and it will set the stage for the fulfillment of Daniel 11 and verse 40. You think Germany's going to come in and take a very measured approach to confronting Iran? No, it says they go against the king of the south like a whirlwind. They surround the king of the south and then crush the king of the south. Total victory. I mean, this is exposing America's weak will. It's exposing the fact that we've lost the pride in our power. It's exposing the fact that we still have power, but it's strength that's being spent yet again in vain, just as Leviticus 26 says. It's all happening the way God said that it would. He says, America and Israel's attack will not end up cutting off the head of the snake. It will instead enrage it and make it more aggressive. This is what's happening. It's becoming more aggressive. Listen to J.D. Vance. This was on the tarmac somewhere in Europe yesterday. Clip 6.
Ceasefires are always messy. An hour after the president announced the ceasefire, the Iranians launched a bunch of missiles. Then the Israelis responded. Then some of the Gulf Arab states responded. This is the nature of a ceasefire. No ceasefire ever goes without a little bit of choppiness. What we have been very clear about is that we want to stop the bombing. We want our allies to stop the bombing, and we want the Iranians to do the same thing. We're seeing evidence that things are going in the right direction, but it's going to take a little time.
We're seeing evidence that it's going in the right direction. Ceasefires are messy. I mean, I thought this was like a President Trump used the word conquest yesterday. We're ready for another conquest. These are not the words of someone that has gotten in return the total surrender. The mindset in Iran is certainly not total surrender to great Satan. Far from it. And so here you have the U.S. vice president saying, well, it's just they're always messy. I mean, come on. We got the agreement. Missiles still were fired away. But, you know, we're heading in the right direction. These are words, nothing more. They're just words. They mean nothing. They mean nothing. And we've heard, we've had a steady diet of talk about peace and unity and prosperity and over and again, golden, golden, golden. As if man can create a golden age. No, only God can do that. We put this montage together. It's number 7, by the way, but it's one we're going to use for a Key of David taping. Just all the talk over this past year about just how wonderful, how golden this world is. This is number 7.
As our victory showed, the entire nation is rapidly unifying behind our agenda with dramatic increases in support from virtually every element of our society, young and old.
But I do want to talk about the economy, sir, here at home. And I wonder what grade you would give.
A plus.
Economy. A plus.
Yeah, A plus, 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 plus.
Wages are up. Prices are down. Our nation is strong. America is respected. And our country is back. There's tremendous unity now in the Middle East. And we really do. We really have peace in the Middle East for the first time ever.
It's called the Board of Peace, and it's all about an easy word to say, but a hard word to produce, peace. But we're going to produce it.
And if we believe that peace is possible, then peace really can be possible.
We can solve this situation diplomatically and with dialogue.
I think anything can be solved with dialogue.
I'm very loyal to the president. But I actually believe in his policy. I really do. I believe in his policy of attempting to settle the Iranian conflict through dialogue.
President Trump's decision to go into Iran and to go in with overwhelming force is the most consequential decision of his presidency. Removing this regime from power makes America much, much safer.
Iran in the future will no longer be the largest state sponsor of terrorism. They cannot rain terror on the region. They cannot commit mass murder.
He's saving the Middle East for freedom and prosperity, but he's basically saving Western civilization. Trump is rearranging the architecture of the entire world system. That's what he's doing.
But all of these good things I'm doing, including for religion, you know, religion's back now hotter than ever before. I mean, I have to tell you.
President Trump really is the one that takes that bold stand and has so many believers that are in his administration. Every single department and agency has a faith director and are an entire staff and a faith center.
In the spirit of joy and renewal this Easter, we also celebrate the extraordinary resurrection of faith and religion in America. The pews will be fuller, younger, and more faithful than they have at any time in many, many years. Religion is growing again in our country for the first time in decades.
There is a palpable spirit moving on college campuses, arenas, and megachurches. Younger generations gathering to worship, coming to faith, as the new Fox Nation special reveals.
There's spiritual hunger in Gen Z. Bible sales are booming, things that you never thought would happen before.
The TPUSA halftime show was an incredible celebration of American cultural identity, but also our values. You saw Kid Rock literally spreading through his music the gospel during the TPUSA.
I love Donald Trump. Is he perfect? No. But I love that guy. I love him. And we'll only have one chance at this. We'll never get another president like Donald Trump, never.
I just came from Venezuela yesterday, and the fire of God's Holy Spirit is being poured out over that country. And there is a fervor and an excitement and a zeal for God there because of the freedom that has been loosed in the country.
No one has paid the price like you have paid the price.
So true.
It almost cost you your life. You were betrayed and arrested and falsely accused. It's a familiar pattern that our Lord and Savior showed us. But it didn't end there for him, and it didn't end there for you.
Our nation is back, bigger, better, richer, and stronger than ever before.
For the first time in more than 50 years, the U.S. is sending astronauts back toward the moon.
And you are doing a fantastic job, and hello, very special hello to Artemis II. Today you've made history and made all America really proud, incredibly proud. We have a lot of things to be proud of lately, but this is there's nothing like what you're doing circling around the moon for the first time in more than a half a century. This July 4th, we will mark 2.5 centuries of liberty and triumph, progress and freedom in the most incredible and exceptional nation ever to exist on the face of the earth. And you've seen nothing yet. We're going to do better and better and better. This is the golden age of America.
Golden age of America. And of course, this is America's birthday bash year as well, 250 years. And yet all the excitement and the enthusiasm, doesn't so much of it feel contrived? I mean, even the circling the moon, we actually set foot on the moon 56 years ago. And the technology, I mean, I made this point the other day, I know, but the technology is incredible. Sending astronauts up and around the moon. We've had articles, though, at the website in the Trumpet magazine about how that, you know, that moon landing in 1969, as this documentary brought out, I mean, the whole world united around America in many ways. It was such an incredible feat. And everybody was looking up. How many people do you think this time around are just excitedly looking at what NASA's doing and how we're circling the moon now? I mean, we talked about it the other day. It is momentous. It is, you know, a human achievement of the highest order. But I think it's a little bit different 56 years later, with so many people, as I said the other day, glued to their devices and so on. We're a lot farther from God 56 years on. 250 years on, for sure. And all the preachers in the world can talk and talk and talk about God and about a golden age and about a resurgence and about our birthday and about, you know, Bibles just flying off the shelves. But what is the reality? You know, I was watching that montage there thinking of what Paul said in 2 Timothy 4. He was about to be martyred, by the way, talking about the last days. He says, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. If it's sound, why won't we endure it? If it makes sense, if it's from the Bible, why is human nature rejecting it? Well, because we don't like sound doctrine. We don't want the truth. We certainly don't want correction. The time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. It says, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. Well, what does this mean? They heap to themselves teachers. Verse 4 says, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. fakery, lies, phoniness, words. How many times did Jesus say, you know, you're only worshiping me with words. You're not doers. You're deceiving yourselves. Why do you call me Lord, Lord? But you don't do the things I say. Turn away from the truth. Is everything America is touching right now, is it golden? I'm sorry to say, it's not. But that's the truth. And that's based on the Word of God. Before the flood, it said that man's heart was on evil continually. And God told human civilization through Noah, his prophet, he said, the end of all flesh is near. It's approaching. And human civilization was bringing it on itself. And the end of all flesh, it happened, except for those eight that were aboard that ark. The end of all flesh. What did Jesus say in Luke chapter 16, I think it is, or 19? He said it would be just like the days before the flood. In the last days, I keep talking about it, but one of these programs, I'm just going to give you a blitz of scriptures with the Bible describing the last days. And you can't sugarcoat it. Well, you can. Preachers do it all the time. But they're turning away from the truth to say that, yeah, there's smooth things ahead. We're transitioning into a golden age. America is, the Middle East is. Iran is ecstatic. They love this peace deal, this ceasefire deal. They love it. They're going to open up Hormuz straight away. And I'm not saying President Trump's excitement the other night was insincere, but look at how short-lived it was. I made the point a couple months ago about how the eternal peace in the Middle East, how long did it last? About like 130 days, if that. And so you've got fires all over the place. Dumpster fires, they're everywhere. And you can't just, I mean, one of those guys in the cold open was the one who said that it's mostly peaceful when, you know, Minneapolis was going up in flames. Turns out there's quite a few people on the right and left that are like that reporter. Listen again to J.D. Vance from, I think this is also from that tarmac exchange, clip three.
So in the past couple of days, I've seen a lot of reporting from the American media about the 10-point proposal that the Iranians have made. Now, as I know, because I've been involved in this, there are three different 10-point proposals, at least, that I've seen floating around. The first 10-point proposal was something that was submitted, and we think, frankly, was probably written by ChatGPT, that was submitted to Steve Witkoff and Jared Kushner. That immediately went in the garbage and was rejected. There was a second 10-point proposal that was much more reasonable, that was based on some back and forth between us, between the Pakistanis and Iranians. That is the 10-point proposal that the president was referencing in his truth yesterday. And then, frankly, I've seen a third 10-point proposal that's even more maximalist than the first 10-point proposal that's been floating around various social media channels. Now, here's what's interesting about all this, is that I've seen various organs, the New York Times, CNN, others, pick up and run the original 10-point proposal based on little more than a random Yahoo in Iran submitting it to public access television in the country of Iran, and then them saying that somehow represents the negotiating position of the government. It's the equivalent of somebody in, let's say, a Democratic councilman in Boise, Idaho, saying something crazy, the local public access TV picking up that crazy statement, and then the New York Times running that as the position of the president of the United States. It doesn't make an ounce of sense. What's happening on the ground in Iran is that you have clearly the position of the government, which is to negotiate with the United States of America. You have the position of the president of the United States, which is to send the negotiators to Pakistan and engage in this good faith negotiation. And then, yes, you have some crazy people at the fringes of the Iranian who are leaking anonymously either for propaganda purposes or because they're embarrassed or because they don't like what happened.
What are we doing? What is going on? There's the chat GPT 10-point plan. That's not, I mean, that was computer generated. Then there's one that's more reasonable. It's legit, I guess, somewhat legit. You've got all these fringe players and they're issuing propaganda. And here is the mighty United States of America negotiating with the mullahs, looking for a way out, obviously. My father's article in the April issue. Trump's hope that these terrorists can be useful in a peaceful transition is delusional. It's delusional. God wants us to trust him, not only individually. He also wants our nations to trust him. If you're going to trust God, you must trust him completely. You can't be halfway about it. Just invoking his name or offering up a few token prayers and expect him to protect and deliver you? You can't just invoke his name. In other words, you've got to be doers. God is looking for total trust in him, in his word. Never negotiate with terrorists. Whatever happened to that strategy? Margaret Thatcher, wasn't she the one that coined that phrase? Don't negotiate with terrorists. Doing so just exposes your own weakness. So you can talk about all of the technology in the world. We're circling the moon. I mean, America can't be stopped. Look at all the push-button warfare we've used these past 40 days or so. Iran's had enough. The money's going to start flowing. The Strait of Hormuz is opening. Everything's good. This is a golden age for the Middle East. Eternal peace is here. The bombs were flying within hours of whatever ceasefire agreement was agreed to, whether it's ChatGPT or some bogus Iranian representative. So now, I mean, that's a big narrative. Which 10-point plan did we agree to? This is where we are. Our world has chosen the way of warfare instead of full trust in God. And if you're going to war in this evil world, you'd better go all the way. Weakness in a world full of beasts will get you killed. There's an even bigger problem than Donald Trump's naivete, America's unwillingness to fight. My father says again, Iran's been provoking and attacking America for 47 years. But no way can we put boots on the ground. Can't do it. Even though they've been killing Americans for decades, killing Jews. Listen again to Vice President Vance, clip 4.
The way to think about this is the United States has certain demands and certain things that we want. The Iranians have things they can get out of the negotiation. The more that they're willing to give us, I think the more they're going to get things out of this negotiation. The president's talked about sanctions relief. The president's talked about economic partnerships and things like that. That's not going to happen unless the Iranians make a firm commitment to stop anything close to the development of a nuclear weapon. And frankly, the president has all the cards here. We've got a lot of leverage. We've got a lot of things that we can do. But right now, I think that we're in a good spot.
We have all the leverage? Well, then demand unconditional surrender. The way to think about this is interesting, just to repeat what he said there. The United States has certain demands and certain things that we want. The Iranians have things that they can get out of the negotiations. It's a nice way of saying the Iranians have their demands and what they want as well. We're trying to meet in the middle. We're trying to make a deal. President Trump has bragged about the fact that that's all he does. He's done that for his whole life. He makes deals. He compromises. Is compromise with the head of the terrorist snake, is that going to work in the end? Compromising with the king of the South that just keeps pushing and pushing and pushing, like my father says in the latest trumpet. It's been doing it for almost a half century. These are words that show weakness. And as I say, the whole world is watching. Let me just give you the quote again from the April issue of the Trumpet magazine. Negotiations with an evil regime led to World War II, and negotiating with evil regimes like this one in Iran will lead to World War III. Those are not smooth words. They don't just tickle the ears. But it is the truth. One more from Vice President Vance, clip 5.
I encourage the Iranians to come to the table seriously. We've seen some signs that they're going to do that. We've seen some signs of bravado. Fundamentally, we're in a good spot. They're reopening the straits. We have a ceasefire. And frankly, if they break their end of the bargain, then they're going to see some serious consequences.
Weakness. I encourage the Iranians to come to the table seriously. And we've seen some signs that they're doing that. We've seen some good signs. They love it. They love hearing that in Tehran. China's paying attention. Europe's paying attention. Germany's paying attention. Vladimir Putin, they're all watching. President Trump, as I played the other day, I mean, he's acknowledged how different it is for America to fight wars today compared to 100 years ago, 200 years ago. And he's right about that. It's very different from Euro intelligence. The reality is that the world's largest military and economic superpower lost a war against a mid-sized country. Iran could, from now on, charge for passage through the Strait of Hormuz and impose a global oil tax on the rest of the world. The war leaves the West broken. If there's any winners in this, it's Xi Jinping and Vladimir Putin. Make no mistake, the U.S. president has failed in nearly all his objectives. And again, the talking heads, they're all lining up to punch away at President Trump. But there's some truth to this. That's the reality. The Telegraph in Britain, it says, this is a fundamental shift in the understanding of maritime waterways, with consequences for traders, insurers, and capital markets, as the cost to pass waterways could no longer be assumed to be zero. This is on the toll that Iran is now going to be charging. What would stop others from doing the same? If Iran were to get away with this in the Gulf, would the Houthis not be tempted to do the same for the Bab el-Mandeb Strait in the Red Sea or the Strait of Malacca? I mean, you see the direction this is going. The world is heading for war. World war is coming. Even as we're trying to negotiate with terrorists, even if we're saying, you know, I think they're reasonable. You heard in that one montage, I think we can solve anything through dialogue, through talk, through words. The president's deal has a hole in it, a giant nuclear bomb-shaped hole. Iran is just as close to developing a nuclear weapon as it was when the war began. And as I said, I mean, they've got a stronger grip on the Seagate now compared to before the war. What does that say about the so-called leverage that America is enjoying? This ceasefire is exposing a disaster of the highest order for the United States. And as I say, the The world is watching. The entire world is learning that if you can just endure a few weeks of push-button bombings, you can come out on the side of victory. You can come out with greater leverage, with more control, with a stronger regime, with, in this case, a more radical regime. We've been making the point in recent days about just the comparison between the crisis with Hormuz and the Suez crisis from 1956, I think it was. I mean, both very symbolic of imperial decline and defeat. And that's what we're witnessing today. I mean, we're watching the death of a superpower. This is from, again, the other day, President Trump. Subject to the Islamic Republic of Iran agreeing to the complete, immediate, and safe opening of Hormuz, I agree to suspend the bombing and attack of Iran for a period of 2 weeks. This will be a double-sided ceasefire. The reason for doing so is that we've already met and exceeded all military objectives and are very far along with a definitive agreement concerning long-term peace with Iran and peace in the Middle East. He's got peace in all caps. We received a 10-point proposal from Iran and believe it's a workable basis on which to negotiate. So Iran is establishing the terms of the negotiation. Almost all of the various points of past contention have been agreed to between the U.S. and Iran, but a two-week period will allow the agreement to be finalized. So we're heading in the right direction. So they say. And then you get the explosion of arguments, dissent, whatever you call it, because the New York Times publishes the 10-point proposal. And President Trump says that's not accurate. It's different than that. Some have said it's a 15-point proposal. It's all so confusing, as I said at the start. I mean, it just highlights how there's no hope in man. We don't know the way to peace. This is from yesterday. The failing New York Times, President Trump says, and fake news CNN each reported a totally fake 10-point plan on the Iran negotiations, which was meant to discredit the people involved in the peace process. All 10 points were made up, hoax, evil losers, he says. There you go. I think one final point I just want to make here, and I touched on it already, just the contrast between America's very strategic and measured approach to this war. Everything, I mean, they've got a target just, I mean, the mullahs and the missiles. There can't be any, you know, there can't be any casualties, collateral damage. And compare that with the way Assyria approaches the coming clash. The clash between the king of the north and the king of the south, as it's described in Daniel 11 and verse 40. My father writes, this is from an article in 2013. He says, we've taught for about 20 years, based on Bible prophecy, that Iran and its radical Islamist allies are going to be conquered. But we've never been able to tell you how it's going to happen. He goes into the word, or the meaning of the word whirlwind in Daniel 11 and verse 40, and how that it has to do with Assyria or modern-day Germany surrounding the king of the south, the head of the snake, at the time of the end. It says, this prophecy describes Germany and the new Holy Roman Empire. The Germans are excellent war strategists and warriors. They are savvy enough to realize that they will never have peace with Iran. They know that sooner or later, their two religions, their two civilizations will clash. Now, President Trump the other day talked about ending the Persian civilization obliterating it. So, I mean, it's one thing to talk about it, but what happens when this clash occurs? It says, the scripture describes a time when Germany's Catholic Empire will wage all-out war, throwing everything it has at radical Islam and dominating it like a violent flood pouring in. I mean, this is very different. We're talking about Gentile justice. This is brought on by the mind of a beast. Again, those are not smooth-sounding words. It's just the reality. It's what's prophesied. It says here, the Iranians are so focused on conquering their own objectives, it says that they don't see what the Germans are doing. They don't recognize how Germany is planning for a bigger war to come. No one but the trumpet recognizes it. This is my father writing back in 2013. It's pretty amazing. Germany has expected to clash with Iran, and it has been working on a strategy for a decade or more. Sansidon commentary says the King of the North will swoop down. This isn't simply a straight-on assault. It's a storm that whirls around and around, invading the land and flooding into it. He talks about that word, whirlwind. This has an unusual emphasis, the meaning, on terror. It says here, will this terrifying whirlwind be nuclear? It certainly will be terrorizing, and it's about to explode in the Middle East. Finally, the terrorists will become terrorized. They're not being terrorized today. Yes, they were bombed for 40 days or so, and America is now looking for a way out. And we're hearing a lot of wonderful words about peace, a golden age, money flowing, the straits opening up, everyone benefiting. And we're seeing the reality, what is actually happening on the ground. I mentioned earlier that another angle to this is how it's basically driving that final nail in the coffin of NATO. The North Atlantic Treaty Organization. This agreement that brought America and Europe together as allies. This is President Trump from yesterday. NATO wasn't there when we needed them, and they won't be there if we need them again. This is the White House press secretary, I think also from yesterday, clip one.
I have a direct quote from the President of the United States on NATO, and I will share it with all of you. They were tested and they failed. And I would add, it's quite sad that NATO turned their backs on the American people over the course of the last 6 weeks when it's the American people who have been funding their defense. As you know, President Trump will be meeting with Secretary Ruta in a couple of hours here at the White House, and I know he looks forward to having a very frank and candid conversation with him.
I think I played the Rubio bit the other day, but just to take you back to this trumpet issue, the world is uniting against America. This is March 2026, so the issue before the most recent one. And it said, the subheads underneath, one way the world can hit back. And then under that, the end of NATO. And then the board of Trump. And then how to besiege the U.S. You can see why this magazine is so important. And you can see why you need a subscription so that you can understand where we're headed. And know tomorrow's news, today, Know the news before it actually happens. God gives us that insight, that understanding, through the sure word of Bible prophecy. That's all we have time for on today's show, the fastest moving hour in broadcasting. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We thank you for joining us on today's show, and we'll see you tomorrow.